You're listening to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair. Welcome to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair, where we give our unfiltered first impressions of the films we just watched at the movies and record our discussion on The Drive Home. Opinions change over time, and working in the film industry, none of these critiques are meant to be personal, but rather a reaction. Thank you for listening.
Alrighty, what an interesting evening.
Sorry.
Well, I'm back in the car with my mom and dad.
At least you didn't call us parental units.
With my parental units.
There we go.
I just said it because you said not to. That's just how I work. So we just saw Thor Ragnarok, which was a lot of fun. I was pretty impressed. Marvel took risks for one of the first times I've seen, and really they really handled superheroes in a way that I thought was more exciting than their normal roles. They weren't vulnerable. They weren't invulnerable like they normally are. And they're not all powerful like they always are. They had to find new ways to figure out what was going on. And in many ways, spoiler alert, Thor gets mortally wounded and things like that. So it's actually kind of neat to see.
Not mortally.
Well, not mortally wounded, but permanently wounded, put it that way. And that was kind of new to me in a way. In Thor. I didn't think that they were going to take it that far, but, now Hemsworth has to deal with an eye patch the entire time.
Well, but he also, it was symbolism because his father had the eye patch.
And it's, so he is taking his father's place.
You did holler spoiler alert.
Yeah, I did.
Before you started.
Yeah, well, it goes to just the par for the course for talking about these things. My biggest gripe, and I'm just going to get into my negatives right now, the M16s with the unlimited clips.
Magazines,
I know. I say clips because most people don't understand what magazines. When you say that, they just kind of go, what, like a magazine?
Women wear clips.
I understand that. Most people don't. So, it's one of those, anyway. So the unlimited magazine of the M16A1 rifles that were just I kind of broke on that only because if they would have given him something that had
a drum,
if they can put a drum on an M16, I would have been more in enthralled by that. But no, it was a 30 round banana mag.
I think it was only about 20, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But no, it just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, I even got that part.
Yeah, it was they didn't even try and hide it. I don't know, I just thought that was a little bit over the top. But the rest of it was really fun. I mean, the music was great, the characters were pretty great.
Those were more Vietnam M16s.
That's why I said M16A1. That's because they didn't have a 3-round burst. They had fully auto. That's why they didn't go with the A2, because the A2 removed fully auto.
M16s.
Yeah, because the people who designed it didn't realize that, combat effectiveness of full auto is stupid. No, because you run out of your ammunition and they jam double feed or whatnot.
People come flying. I didn't realize it did.
But on the bright side,
Chris Hemsworth went without a jacket for a while.
Without a shirt.
Yeah, and you got to see Green Hulk butt.
Yeah, that's what Sophia said. I saw Hulk's butt cheeks.
Now they had every character seemed to have a very different arc.
Personality.
Yeah. When I mean arc, I mean they changed throughout the story. Like Loki did Loki. That's what he does. But at least it was somewhat predictable in a way. But
some was not.
Yeah. So. I mean, they're consistent with that character's inconsistency, which is kind of a weird angle.
But it was funny.
Yeah, no.
They worked hard for humor.
They did. Yeah. They really did. And that's why Marvel works a lot better than DC in that way. Although, the one thing that did bug me was they really did try and keep this PG-13 in terms of the combat. And it, like, was the borderline at times kind of laughable violence in terms of, like, how they did it. With the cutting and the like... You never saw anybody get stabbed, really. They just kind of had swords appear through them. A lot of the times, if you watch the cuts, they don't actually show the stabbing or penetration of the blades. They would actually just show, like, the aftermath of it, in a way. It was how they got around their, probably their rating for it, to keep it under a PG-13.
At the very end, when that guy took that big old spear through the chest, that was pretty indicative.
Wait, which one?
The guy that was the goat and then the hero.
Oh, yeah.
16 guy, he took that spear. That was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, all the way around, even I think it appealed to all ages. There's something you can throw in there. It was fun for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Regardless of your age.
They set up... The setups were great. There weren't really any hanging chads of stories. It was well-rounded.
Oh,
okay.
Come on, you shit. You ran a damn light over there.
Smart.
No, he didn't. Sorry. He had a green. He was on the turn signal.
No.
That's... That turn signal there is the one I take all the time after Weenus Mitchell. Anyway.
All right, now you can talk without your old man.
But we wanted your insight.
I just gave you some insight. Keep
okay.
talking then.
Let's see here. What else? There's not a lot to talk about this one because I didn't find a lot of problems. Like, I'll rant and rave about, you know, this or that or this or that. Everybody sort of had their own equal in the story to some degree. The Hulk, they balanced it out pretty well. I mean, one of the crazy things is the... Marvel has this thing about putting some of the best fights in the middle. Like the Thor and Hulk scene was actually one of the best. And the Hulk and Hulkbuster from Avengers was like one of the best battles. And so they're like weirdly in the middle. But that was, they just handled it really well.
Yeah, it flowed really good.
Yeah.
It answered a lot of questions because you always wondered, where did Hulk go from that other movie?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I will say that there was one that I was kind of like, eh, is how, you know, having Odin just disappear into, like, pixels and the use of Doctor Strange in the beginning.
That didn't make sense with Doctor Strange.
No, Doctor Strange just kind of was pigeonholed in it to kind of, like, make him a connection with these characters, probably for something in terms of... I'm sure these characters are going to engage each other in the Infinity War.
Yeah, I think they already established a relationship between Doctor Strange and Oki.
Thor and Loki.
Loki, because Loki wanted to fight him, so he's going to have a chip on his shoulder toward Doctor Strange in a future.
Yeah, maybe. That might be the angle that they're going. I just felt like it was just weird, like... We had Odin, and we had Loki on the throne the last movie. That's how they ended the elf one. And it just was like...
I thought Loki died.
Well, he pretended.
I know, but in the last movie, wasn't he dead?
No, he was the one who took Odin's place.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was at the end of the elf Thor 2.
Oh. Together.
Yeah, they kind of do it sometimes. So they had him on the throne, and they never showed or said what happened to Odin. Presumably that he may have killed Odin or something, but really, they made it so he banished him to Earth, and then they have to go to Earth to get him. That just kind of felt like, well, we need to deal with Odin in this way. This is, and then we'll just have to make this work to get us to where we want. Once the movie hit its stride and made it to the planet that they wanted it to make it to, then it kind of worked better. But that whole setup just felt very like we need to have these pieces in place in order for it to get to here.
Yeah, and when Odin said, "Remember this place," Okay, is that where the future is going to be taking place?
Asgard. Maybe that might be the future Asgard.
That's what I was wondering, if that was to tie in, because they wanted to come back to Earth, and that was look like Ireland.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Norse mythology has some origins here on Earth, so that's why they probably, you know, went with that angle.
Did he say he was in Norway? When they said your father's in Norway?
Yeah. So that would be Norse.
Yeah.
By the way, when they said, "Oh, doesn't the view look beautiful?" Cut to green screen. With them all standing against the green screen. I was like, "Ugh, really?"
Was it really green screen?
Yeah, it was. Like, you could tell. The wide shot, because whenever you're dealing with, like, these type of actors, it's so hard to get them, like, you'd have to fly them to Norway and do all those shots, or you can just, like, put it in a whatchamacallit.
Yeah, soundstage.
Yeah, in a soundstage.
Or, if they did a lot of filming on Australia, is there parts of Australia that looks like that?
That didn't look like Australia in any way. Hmm. Like that? No, that was definitely like the hills of Ironor or something. I don't remember exactly what they said where it was, so I don't. It might have been Norway, but either way, it didn't look right.
No.
But yeah, so that setup was a little odd. Doctor Strange was shoehorned, and I honestly, Doctor Strange is probably one of my least favorite characters in the Marvel Universe, because it's like. It's just whatever you want to do. You want him to do this, he can do this. You want him to do this, you can do this. There's no rules and confines, and there's no consequences or costs to his actions. It's just random crap. And that's one of the many reasons why I didn't like that movie in the first place.
So now Thor is not going to have a hammer in the other movies.
Well, no, he lost his hammer.
Yeah, but couldn't he just go like this and then have the pieces all come flying and super glue?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. In this world, there's many ways to bring back his hammer, and I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to bring it back. But maybe they won't either, because it seems like they're setting up for actual change to happen in the universe to where. It's irreparable. I mean, you saw that with by Thor losing his eye, they sort of are like, in a way, like, hey, be prepared. Things might have irrevocable changes.
There was nobody in here when we pulled in.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, a lot of it was Thor had to find his inner strength, and he relied on the hammer for his strength. And that's why I don't think the hammer will come back.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that they'll... they'll change it. Also, the hammer making Thor fly changed a lot of the rules and confines of what he could do. Like, by removing the hammer out of the equation in the first act of this film,
are you serious?
They were able to, you have to drop me off, by the way, at DJ's.
No,
okay. As long as I have my keys. As long as I have my... Yes, I have my keys. Okay.
Keys?
Yeah, I got my keys. By removing the hammer out of the equation, they really, you know, had to force him to use planes and other things, and...
But he still could fly a little bit.
Yeah, that jumping from, like...
That was lightning force.
Well, she was able to, too. It seems like Asgardians... don't really can sort of defy physics a little bit in the way that they fight. I mean, you saw it in the first encounter that she had with somebody when she threw him over her shoulder and he flew. Like, so they do make it that these Asgardian guardians have some sort of like ability. But yeah, hopping from plane to plane. All right, we give it to you. You're superheroes.
Okay, and did you notice when they were evacuating the city and they're in the plane and the guy has the wrap over his head, you know, because he was the executioner.
Yeah,
they had him right next to the girl he was going to execute.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, and I thought... okay, she would have recognized him.
Everyone would have recognized him.
Yeah.
I didn't buy that for an instant.
Yeah. They should have been just glaring at him.
That was...
That would have been more realistic.
But then again, they also were in this panic mode. Things were coming in. I mean, how much are you looking at the Asgardian to your left and right sometimes?
I would be.
I'd be looking.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, granted, I don't know. They're just, at that point, they're just sheep going into a plane.
Trusting no one.
you'd be a different Asgardian, I take it, Mom.
Yeah, I would.
I thought they did a pretty decent job with Hulk, in terms of like making him
humorous,
and well, also we had to see him be that communicate as the Hulk, because it seems like they're kind of edging out Mark Ruffalo out of the role a little bit.
Yeah, because they said if I turn into Hulk again, I may not be able to turn back.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I almost wanted more of a moment of Hulk deciding to help, like understanding the sacrifice that he was making. It seemed very like they went for the joke instead of the moment.
I like the joke.
I did too. I mean, I liked the joke. It was all right, but it also was a choice for him to like, well, maybe I might not turn back. You didn't see that decision made.
No, but is that something you can really depict?
You might have. I mean, there might have been a moment to do it, but they chose a different route. Right. So it's one of these things where I always feel that the character arc or the character decision is more impactful than the joke, but then again, I mean, the joke was kind of funny. It depends on what they're going for with the audience.
Yeah, well, I like that this movie had laughter in it. Otherwise, it's just too tiring.
Yeah, it would be daunting, and it's also like it also got pretty dark in terms of where they went with the story.
Yeah.
Oh man. So we're fastly approaching my car here. Any last things that you enjoyed? Any predictions for the future? My prediction was the Tesseract was stolen by Loki, and that's Thanos at the end picking him up. So that's my guess.
Yep.
Who, me?
Yeah, anything you got?
It was what I enjoyed. There was something for everybody. I would have liked, I don't know how you can go back, but I even made the comment that some of that stuff was just so hard to understand because it was flying by and there was a lot of mumbling, but yet a lot of people caught it. For me, it was one of those movies that
right
I would have
right here.
It's okay.
That I would have liked to have had a digital display of the words, because yeah. I would have liked to have caught everything. They put a lot of time and effort into
the visuals,
and the jokes came. A lot of the jokes came from what they said. And if you miss what they said, you missed a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm not asking for them to put closed caption up on a screen.
You'll get closed captioning with the DVD release and get to see it then, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'll get that at least.
That's true. Yeah. But other than that, honey, final thoughts?
More Chris Hemsworth without shirts.
Oh.
All right. That's a great way to leave off the drive home with Mom, Dad, and Casey. This has been the Drive Home with Casey and Blair. We'll see you all next time.